Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
This is the Best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Coach Vermeil, how you doing this fine Friday morning?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Yeah, I'm good. Doing okay.
Thanks, Dick. So, Dick, a ton to do on the Eagles, but let me just ask you one Phillies-related question. I'm taking a beating here today because people think I'm too soft on the Phillies. You, as someone who coached over decades, knows that it's very hard to win, and sometimes you win it all, and usually you don't. Can you put some perspective to the many listeners right now on the degree of difficulty to win it all and how – the struggle is so painful when you don't, and the whole emotional ledge, because everyone's mad at me for not being harder on the Phillies, but I'm trying to tell people it's not easy to win at all. Your thoughts?
Well, first off, they did a great job of getting there, you know. But as I said last week, when the best gets versus the best in the game, and the pitching is as good as it was to get and be the best and be in that ball game. More often than not, and I'm no baseball statistician, but more often than not, they shut down the better hitters in the league. You know, regardless of how many home runs they've been hitting and all that, they aren't going to consistently do that through four or five games against the best pitching in the league. That's why those pitchers make so much money.
Sure.
You know, it's just, this city is one of the greatest sports cities, maybe the best sports city in the country, all right? And I've been around. But losing hurts them more than any other city, especially when the expectations are so great. They almost take the fact that they're going to win for granted. You know, you still have to play the game, you know? And it's tough. And this city loves their football team. And they get mad at them when they don't perform like they think they ought to. They had a hell of a year. They won a ton of baseball games.
Yeah, they did. So, Coach, let's get to the Eagles here, and I'm going to ask you the same question. I think I've asked just about every guest we've had this week. How concerned are you about our football team, the Eagles?
Well, I'm concerned as probably just as much, or not as probably not, no, not as much as the coaches are, you know. But, you know, our coaching staff has proved they know what they're doing, okay? Yeah. And I have confidence the team will get better. Will they be what they were? Probably not. Okay. Probably not. When you compare them today, what they were last year at the end of the year, there is no comparison. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, I do believe the quality of our coaching staff, you know, all the way through every assistant football coach will improve this football team, and they'll get some guys back that are banged up, but they aren't going to be what they used to be. It's going to be very tough.
So we're playing our former quarterback in Carson Wentz, and he's sort of had a little bit of a resurgence because he's getting rid of the ball and letting the offense work for him, something that he struggled to do while he was here, Coach. What do you see from Carson Wentz, and how concerned should we be that he actually has the goods to give us a run for our money this weekend?
Well, you know, all through the league, the cast-off quarterback has been playing very, very well in the situation he is in now, okay? Mm. It's amazing. Last year, Minnesota did an unbelievable job with a quarterback, made him a lot of money. Now he's playing very well and on another team. You know, some teams just have better luck with quarterbacks. And I'm not going to say better coaching because sometimes there's a lot of variables in that. But some head coaches, some offensive schemes just are more conducive to producing a quarterback that can play better than he has been playing. And I think he'll play well. Their offense is not as good as it was last year. Their defense is a lot better than it was last year, Minnesota. So it'll be a tough football game. My computer says we're going to lose by one. I kind of believe we'll go there and beat them. I really do, because I think, you know, our coaching staff, our players are so used to winning, and I think the fact that they've lost two in a row will be a great motivating force. Now, Minnesota's coming out of a bye week, so that'll be good for their offense and Carson Wentz. And maybe I read where their fast starting quarterback was starting to take some reps as well. It'll be a good football game, but I really believe our Eagles will be better than they've been playing.
The simulated basically zone blitzes have really given us problems where they, you know, do the seven guys milling around at the line of scrimmage. Brian Flores, we know he's going to blitz. We know he's going to do those zone simulated pressures. How concerned are you, Coach, about the way we have really struggled to protect our quarterback when we try to pass it?
Well, there's no question we're struggling there, but I'll tell you this, those zone blitzes can't stop good running games. Okay.
Ah, I love that. Amen.
A defensive lineman starting to drop out cannot have as much weight on his hand to take on an offensive blocker, the quality of our team. And I think it'll help, if they do a lot of it, it'll help our running game.
I love that.
I'm not a big zone blitz fan, okay? And coaches do a good job against zone blitzes. We haven't had a lot of luck, but we haven't had a lot of luck against anything right now.
No,
so,
they haven't.
I think if we run the ball well, we'll control those zone blitzes.
Coach Vermeil with us right now, as he is every Friday at this time. Coach, let's talk about Brandon Graham. I've been saying all week I think the Eagles should sign him if he is interested in playing and in, you know, good enough shape to be able to step in there. With the depletion at that position and the lack of production, and your many years of experience where you see players walk away and sometimes still have something left in the tank, based on what you saw from Brandon last year, would you sign him?
I might, yeah. It depends on how desperate I am. I don't know the roster, okay? If I knew the roster real well, I know this. I'm going to bring this up again. In 1979-80, I signed a 34-year-old guy, and he got 14 sacks. The next year at 35, he got 15 sacks, Claude Humphrey, okay? Yep. It's amazing when you've been really good and you take good care of your body and then come back and really go to work, you can still play well. All players played longer in the old days because they didn't get paid as much money, so they couldn't retire, and they played longer. And I really believe a lot of older players can play extremely well if they're willing to work harder than they've ever worked before. And Brandon Graham is one of those kind of guys. You know,
I agree.
He has no limitation on his commitment to the game.
And Dick, just to give you some context on the roster, Rhea, what's the reality? Is it one sack by an edge rusher this
one
year?
Yeah, outside, you know, especially with Zadarius gone.
I mean, Coach, think about that. Yeah. We're six games into the season. Those guys collectively have one sack on the outside. That's a disaster.
Well, you know, if anyone can fix it and make it better, and not dramatically better, is our defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio.
Sure.
And no
sure.
one knows more about what to do with the defense than he does. Okay, nobody. So I believe if we play well on offense, you know, play well on offense and go in there, our defense will handle the issue, say, okay, keep the game close enough for us to win.
Coach, let's get to your prediction. So we heard you allude to the computer has it, the other team by a point. Sounds like you're leaning toward the Eagles. Why? Are you leaning toward the Eagles and why?
Because they haven't played up to their ability. Even though they aren't what they used to be, they're better than they are. Okay, they have dropped off dramatically offensively from what they were, and they're not that bad. I just don't believe they are, and I believe they'll get going. And they've proved they can do that in the past. I just believe they'll get better, even against a better defense. Minnesota is playing better defense this year than they were last year. The bye will help Minnesota as well.
It sounds like you. You say the run will help diffuse the zone pressures.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like you think Saquon will have some success this week, Coach?
If they give him any kind of room at all. And you got to be careful. All coaches have to be careful of giving up on the run because the first two running plays only make 6 yards. First off, we're spoiled. You know, yeah. What we did with the running guy, we're spoiled. That, we may never see that again, okay?
Yep.
But you can't give up on the run, especially with a guy like him. You don't have to block everybody if you give him the ball, especially when he's behind the quarterback and the
Coach,
quarterback's up front. Yeah.
Yep. We love having you on. Poll question with Nolan Smith out and Za'Darius Smith retired. Do you think the Eagles should call Brandon Graham to find out if he is in shape and interested in playing again? Yes or no? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. I think it's a no-brainer. Now, John, you said yesterday no. Why no? I mean, why not find out?
It's just, it's unlikely that this sort of thing works. He retired for a reason.
I think he retired because they didn't want to bring back an old guy.
I do, too.
I don't think he wanted to retire.
I think there's a lot more that goes into retiring than just that. I mean, his family, the decision was made. That is the family part of it, I think, is what really does it for me.
Well, that's where it's up to him, though. But why not call him and ask him?
It's almost a slap in the face of the guys who are out there.
What do I care about that?
Yeah, slap Josh Uche in the face. Yeah. Slap Aziz Ojulari in the face. I have no problem with that. They stink.
9 months.
Those guys are horrible. They're horrible.
No one cares about their
feelings. Slap him in the face as much as we need to.
One. I don't think it's a slap in the face to the current players.
A slap in the face to, seriously.
John, they have one sack.
Who cares? Who cares? Darius
Smith
will cut him. Like, what are we
it's
talking about here?
It's irrelevant about their feelings.
They all stink.
Yeah.
All
I don't care how they feel. They're not good enough.
I think it's like with Brandon Graham, he probably went through.
I think it's foolish to suppose that he could do this.
I don't.
Yes.
He played well
last
year.
That's a whole
thing.
I agree. He probably went through his own grieving process, too. Like, you're ending a over a decade career with one team, you
there's
go
so
out on top, you know,
that.
Second time Super Bowl champion, you re-tear the injury that you had to come back from. And then for the team, after all of that pomp and circumstance and tears and emotion, and you're probably finally moving on to call you and kind of reopen that, I just don't think that's even fair to him.
John, are you telling me in 06 if a team called you, you would have said no?
Oh, I wouldn't have been able to do it.
Okay, well, that's why you find out if the guy can do it. Okay, fair enough. I mean,
there's nothing wrong with asking.
Yeah.
Worst he says is, can't do it. Not ready, guys.
No,
sorry.
Right.
Like, what's the downside?
Or the wife doesn't want me to, and then I stay retired, and no problem.
I don't think it's likely that he'll be able to do it or want to do it.
All right, look, 215-592-9494. The BG thing, what do you think? Should they call him up and at least explore the possibility, yes or no?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Now I really need Brandon Graham to come through that door. Right, Seltzer, and uplift us a little bit?
Please, please.
I mean, I think it's a no-brainer to at least call him, which, by the way, is our Twitter poll question of the day, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin is proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. Poll question with Nolan Smith out and Za'Darius Smith retired, like, out of nowhere. Do you think the Eagles should call Brandon Graham to find out if he is in shape and interested in playing again? To find out more on that and everything going on with the Eagles, let's turn to our guy, Mike Quick. You just heard the music right there. Mike is brought to us by Verizon, the official SG partner. Excuse me, that's 5G. I got my glasses on. 5G partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Get to your local Verizon store today to check out the latest deals. My glasses on, but not exactly working. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, morning team. How are you?
Oh, Mike.
Great.
We're looking for
great.
We're looking for uplift. So they really should explore the BG thing, don't you think?
Did you call Merrill? I said you're looking for uplift. Did you call Merrill?
I haven't called Merrill yet, but he's if you don't do the job, he'll be next on the list. So, Mike, what do you think? BG, I mean, don't you at least kick the tires and find out if he wants to do it?
I think it's hard to, like, unretire from this game. And I know many guys have done it. But once you start to sit home and, you know, drive the kids to school and do all the papa duties that you have to do when you have little ones, I think it's hard. And I don't know if BG has been working out, kind of anticipating this. And if that's the case, then, yeah, it would make sense. But if that's not the case, I think it's hard to unretire, especially given all that this game asks of you to do.
Yeah. Well, he's got to want it, and he's got to be able to be in shape enough to do it. And that,
look at this guy that just retired. Now, Za'Darius Smith, he really wanted to play, was working out, getting ready to play. He comes in, and, you know, after a few weeks, and evidently, before he even came back, it was a real question in his head whether or not he was going to do this again this year. And then he decides, you know, my heart's not in it. For whatever reason, he decides that he doesn't want to do it. I just think it's a difficult thing to do.
Okay.
Mike, so much more difficult than is given credit right now. I think it's hilarious that this is just being looked at like, he'll just come back.
Well, it depends whether he's wanted it.
It's not easy like that. It is so impossibly hard to expect him to just do this. I can't even imagine.
John, and the other thing is, you know, if he does and if they do want BG to come back, what kind of player is he going to be? We're going to expect the BG that we've come to know.
I know he'll be a great leader, but what's he going to give you on the field?
Yeah, after all of this time off, what will he be able to give you in terms of what he can do on the field?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's where I'm at. I'm going to give you a math equation. Mike, remember in like fifth grade you get those greater than signs and the lesser than signs? 70% of BG is greater than Ojulari, Uche, and whoever the hell else I've never even heard of. So take that math equation and put it in your pipe.
Mike, what is the area, what's the biggest area that the team should have focused on over the, you know, the 10 days to get better, to recover from the two-game skid?
I think the biggest thing that they get out of this is getting some rest and trying to get healthy bodies, because I believe that is the biggest issue with this team, is that they don't have a healthy offensive line. They don't have a healthy enough defensive line. The players that they have, the players that they're counting on, when you don't have those guys healthy, I see the drop-off as being a pretty big drop-off when you have to bring in the substitutes and the guys who are backing these guys up. If you have all of these guys healthy that are the starters, you certainly have a much better chance in each and every game. But I just don't see this team as a healthy team right now, especially in the trenches. And having 9 days as opposed to 6 days recovery, I think that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Lane says we're predictable. What do you say to that?
I say what Barkley said. Yeah, you can be predictable. You know, when Washington was winning and everyone knew exactly what play they were going to run, John, they ran the counter tray or they ran, you know, big Rigo. Mm-hmm. You know what was coming, but because you were so dominant, you couldn't stop it. Last year, teams knew what the Eagles were doing, but they were so physical, they were so dominant, that teams couldn't stop it even still.
So when we get the offensive line healthy enough, will Saquon be able to break some chunkers again? Are you watching Saquon and seeing that he's not taking a step back, that he's still Saquon, that it's just the path has not been cleared in front of him? Or is it more to it than that?
I think it's the accumulation of all that he's done in his career, and particularly last season, and the lack of health of this offensive line. I just think it's a matter of what happens in this league. And teams are playing him differently, but with the offensive line healthy, I still think Saquon can be Saquon. You watch the first drive that they had against the Giants when they're moving people around. Yeah, we saw what we wanted to see, and one of those almost broke for a real big one. I think it's a matter of getting these guys up front healthy, because you don't win in this league unless you have healthy big people beating up the other team's big people.
So, Mike, they got an issue at corner. I mean, they already had one. Now they probably are going to have two if Quinyon's out. Should they move Cooper DeJean outside? They haven't wanted to because he's so good inside and probably not as good outside. But should they bump him outside and just attack it that way?
So when you ask me a question like that, I think about Vic Fangio, because I do believe that this guy can really, like, maneuver the pieces on the board to make the best of them, to get the most out of them. And if Vic decides that's the way to go, then I think that's the smartest move for this team, because he looks at these guys every day. He knows the strengths and weaknesses of these guys. I don't know if that's the best position for Cooper DeJean. I know that he is excellent when you play him inside because of all the skills that he has, because of the athlete that he is. He can do so many things. I don't know if he's the same player. I don't know if he has the same impact on the outside.
Yeah, Mike, if you have to get to a quarterback, you have to pick one player to do it. You get to choose any of our edge rushers. Right now, we have four. Wow. We have Azeez Ojulari. We have Josh Uche, as Nick said. Jalix Hunt. Or Patrick Johnson. So you got Ojulari, Uche, Hunt, or Johnson. And it's Uche, by the way.
Can I punt?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
I hope not.
If you give me that group of players, I think I'll go with... I think Jalix Hunt or Josh Uche.
Wow.
I think it's between the two. Well,
That's a vote of confidence right there.
There's that's an area where this team has to find a player. And I think Jalix Hunt, everyone was expecting a little more out of him than he's been able to give.
I'll say.
Patrick Johnson, you know he's been a backup every year. He's primarily a special teams guy all of his career.
Tough and steady.
Yeah, this is his fifth year. And he hasn't really been anything but primarily a teams guy. Yeah, that's a tough one. That is probably the area that needs the most help.
So, Mike, it's incredible because you're right. That area needs a ton of help. But let me give you another one. I've never in my life thought this would be an issue to discuss, but it is now, so I'll say it. Can they catch a kickoff? I think it's eight times they've dropped a kickoff. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, that's scary. When you see your special teams on just the basics – not being able to get you in good field position, that's something that is troublesome. That's scary. And I don't know. You know, you bring in a guy that you're expecting, and Tank Bigsby, that you're expecting to be able to add something to that, and he just hasn't added anything.
Let's find someone else who can do a better job, I guess.
Xavier Mike, Gibson, give him a shot.
Sure. From your perspective, you've seen so much coverage through the years and the way that this game changes. If we can't run the same coverages that we did before because our best cover guys are out, you know, Quinyon Mitchell no longer able to play for a while, can we zone things off and be and survive, you know, with Adoree Jackson and Kelee Ringo? Is it that simple? Is it easier for the personnel to do certain coverages that we can specialize in that'll give us a better chance to sort of stay afloat while these guys are getting healed up?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything simple about the passing game that they're going to face with Justin Jefferson coming to town. Jordan Addison is now healthy. Jalen Naylor. They've got ballers on that team. T.J. Hockenson at tight end. They've got some ballers on that team. I believe that when you're in this situation, the best thing is keeping it simple And if they simply play a two-deep zone and try and keep everything in front of them,
yeah.
I think that's one way to
wait until Carson makes mistakes.
Yeah.
And he probably will.
Well, Mike, you know what's so big for this game, man? Because I'm telling you right now, I think Carson's going to get three touchdowns. But it's going to come down to whether he does what Jalen does so well, and that's protect the ball. Because you know he's probably good for one turnover.
Well, he can wait.
The question is whether you get the two. If you get the interception and the fumble, the Eagles probably win. If you only get one of them, Eagles probably lose. Like, I hate to be so simplistic, but that's the way I'm going to put it. Because I'll tell you this, Mike, Eagles are going to have to score some points. Because with this Eagles defense, you know, I'm no big Carson fan, but I mean, he can still sling it. He does have a freaking arm.
Well, you're picking him to beat the Eagles.
I am.
It sounds like you're a Carson fan.
Let me tell you this, here. Mike. Just in case you missed it,
Carson stinks.
But so does frickin' Ringo, Ojulari, frickin' whoever the hell else they
Dory
all are.
Dory Jackson.
Yeah,
all those guys.
Those guys are worse. Anyway,
you guys had your coffee this morning, didn't you,
Mike? I'm in a mood, man. I'm in a mood.
Here's the thing, and I'll simplify it even further for you. If you take away Carson's first read, then his feet start to patter and go fast and all sorts of good things happens for the defense.
Totally. Yeah. And he does
the thing.
And he ducks the head.
Teams didn't know that enough. Like, he's 2-1 right now as a starter. Teams didn't know that well enough to take that first read away well enough to where he was nervous and messing up. We're going to do it, and we're going to have a chance.
I hope. And, Mike, he still ducks the head, man. I've never seen a quarterback who just takes his – it'd be like a running back – excuse me, it'd be like a basketball point guard who has to look down to dribble. It's like, if you're looking down, then you're not looking who to pass the ball to.
Eric Lindros.
Yeah, Eric would skate with his head down, and that's why Stevens got him. You're
totally
right.
Got him.
That's a good
absolutely
point, yeah.
But, man, he still ducks. When he's in trouble in traffic, he ducks. And I know a credit to Houdini play versus Washington in 2017 that we properly glorify because it was amazing. But it has caused him a lot of problems as time has gone on. All right, Mike, stay well, my man. You and Merrill and obviously Devin on the call on Sunday. I think we look forward to it, but I hope at the end of the day we did. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll Mike, have fun. Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy. There Thanks, he is, Mike Quick. He joins us every Thursday.
What did you say there at the end?
I hope
we'll look forward to it, but at the end of the day, I guess we...
We'll find out if
honestly,
we did.
Honestly, I think you nailed it. That's exactly how I feel. Like, dead on. Nailed it.
Mike, I don't know.
We're gonna win this game. It's going to be tough.
You got to admit, if they lose to Carson, the town's going to be in a bad mood on Monday.
We're going to wait him out. We're gonna let him make the mistakes.
Listen, one of the biggest things the Eagles have going for them, maybe the biggest, is I feel exceedingly confident that Jalen will turn it over less than Carson.
Yeah.
That's a huge
parsimonious with the ball.
Yeah.
He will make less mistakes than Carson.
Yeah. That is huge. Now Jalen might turn down 37 open receivers, but you know.
Picking only 35.
You actually think we'll lose this game?
I'm picking Minnesota.
Even with Carson Wentz making mistakes.
Yeah. I told you. It's going to come down. Two turnovers for Carson. Minnesota loses. One turnover. Minnesota wins. That's the prediction.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Joe to camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Wentz takes the snap. He fakes. He's back. He pumps. He swings it out. And it's intercepted. It's intercepted.
Oh,
and running down the far sideline and in for a touchdown. It's Taki Taki. That was a poor pass by Carson Wentz. He had Sanders in the flat and he ballooned the ball. And Taki Taki cut it off and ran for a touchdown.
Memories. What you heard there was the moment that I believe Merrill Reese was done with Carson Wentz.
I was done a little before
I've
that.
I've never heard his voice go up that octave.
Well, that pick was ridiculous, man.
That's incredible call.
That was an incredible call. The 2020 season, of course, lives in infamy around here as Carson Wentz got himself benched and then asked out of here. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, and our old buddy, Carson. Well, he is set to start on Sunday. So they haven't named a starter yet for the Vikings, but if you kind of read the tea leaves here, Carson Wentz has been full participant in practice the last 2 days. He has a sore left shoulder. He got smashed his last game because he held the ball too long, as usual. So he's got a sore left shoulder, but he's practicing in full. J.J. McCarthy, their young quarterback they drafted last year, has only been limited. It's all pointing to Wentz. Let's hear the report from out in Minnesota on who is likely to be the quarterback on Sunday.
Yeah, you're right. J.J. McCarthy is back practicing for the first time since the ankle injury, but we just talked to him a few minutes ago, and he had a few big takeaways. He did not say that his ankle is 100%. In fact, his exact quote was that it's getting there. And he also said he received several second opinions on the ankle and that he was told that it could be a time frame of up to 6 weeks, which would mean potentially he could miss two more weeks before he's back on the field. The Vikings have been very clear that they are not going to put him out in a rush. They do not want him on the field until he's 100% and ready to play. So unless some miracle happens the next 2 days and he gets to 100% and he's ready to play in all ways, Carson Wentz will actually make his fourth consecutive start for the Vikings.
And it will be his second against the Eagles since he left here. Of course, the Eagles sacked him, what, like 8 or 9 times in 2022 when he was a commander, or Redskin, I forget what their name was then, football team.
Commodores, whatever.
Yeah, whatever they are. They crushed him that day, and they blew the Commanders out. So it's our second time set to face Carson Wentz. Let's hear from Carson talking about his time here in Philadelphia. A little reflective here from the now journeyman quarterback.
Earlier in my career, maybe had a different feeling, but at the same time, you know, you look over there and I'm not even sure there's anybody on the defensive side that I played with. You know, it just looks different. So it's another opponent. A lot of respect for those guys. You know, there's still guys in that organization. There's a lot of good people that I still have a lot of care for and respect for. But at the same time, that feels like multiple lifetimes ago at this point. Yeah, I'm thankful for it. You know, I mean, they went and got me at a high pick, all the things. You know, it was quite the roller coaster over there. Winning the Super Bowl, even though I was hurt right here in this stadium. Like, it was... I'm thankful for so many things. I grew up as a man. I got married, had a kid while I was there. So there's so many life changes that took place there. So grateful for my time there. Obviously, it came to an end rather abruptly. All the things, everybody knows all that. But I'm grateful for all the opportunities I had while I was there. It's one of those things
All right, so I have a lot of thoughts on the Carson thing.
What you got? Well, he long talked.
He did long talk.
He was being reflective.
He was very reflective. So one thing he said there that I didn't like put in my brain this week, it is the sight of... what had to be a very conflicted moment for him, right? It's the site the Eagles won Super Bowl 52, where he was the backup. So it's that stadium. I didn't even think about that emotion for him playing against the Eagles there now. As far as Carson himself goes, my venom towards him has clearly changed over the years. Like, I don't have it anymore. Like, it's over now, right? Like, the divorce was clearly won by the Eagles. It's so obvious. I mean, they've been one of the best teams in the sport and gone to 2 Super Bowls. He's become the ultimate journeyman. But, Hugh, I am happy he's playing the game on Sunday. This gives the Eagles a far better chance to win the game because he's going to take bad sacks. He's going to throw the ball to the other team. Like, I'm happy he's playing in the game because I think it gives the Eagles a better chance to win. Here are your feelings as the Eagles go up against Carson Wentz.
Boy, you better not lose to Carson Wentz.
That's for sure. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
You better not lose to Carson Wentz.
Well, that I won't be able to handle. No, yeah, that would be a reflective moment for all of us.
And see, we're in a precarious spot. Mm-hmm. Right now, because right now for us, what time is the game? 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. So, 1 p.m. Sunday.
So we
start at 10. By the way.
Yeah. Let me put this in perspective for you.
Okay.
About to put it in a little perspective.
Uh-huh.
How this is going to go?
Okay.
How most Eagle fans are feeling today. Mm-hmm. Their initial thought is last night's game, right?
Well, right. It's
what they saw.
It's the last thing we saw, which is a 40-year-old quarterback who just got to his team.
Put in perspective.
Throwing the ball over the yard.
All over the yard. So now, and I don't think this is going to happen, but if it does, if our Super Bowl MVP quarterback goes out there on this Sunday with the first game that's being played that we're going to watch, because we're as Eagles fans, that's the game we're tuned into.
Of course.
And he looks like he did a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the last Thursday night game.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of upset people. And Carson Wentz looks like he's on a roll or whatever. It's going to be a lot of upset. People are going to watch this game with their arm folded. When the game's done.
I thought you were confident.
No, I'm just saying.
Why are you putting this out there? I'm just putting that in the atmosphere.
I'm just saying because that's how.
How about we kick Carson Wentz's ass?
I'm keeping it a bean, and that's how people going to watch the game. They're going to watch the game like this. Now, this cat better come out there.
That's all I'm sitting here listening to you.
That's what I'm saying. That's why this cat better, he better go out there and he better do his thing.
I do agree with you to the extent of, like, Jalen, if Jalen struggles this week, that just adds to the other struggles. Yeah. But if he struggles and Carson plays decently or well, yeah, that combination is going to make a lot of people pissed off.
A whole lot of how comes last night. Mm-hmm. It was watching that game was a whole lot of how comes.
Yeah.
Still think it's
a little aggravating.
Totally aggravating.
I have a feeling by the end of the show, Hugh flip-flops.
Nah, still going to
I'm calling it.
You don't. You know what? I asked you if you're confident, and you don't sound confident,
at all. But I'm a realist. I know what I saw.
I'm the realist around here. You're the pie in the sky guy.
No, I am the drunk uncle at the barbecue. I'm starting leaning. I'm Black Daniels. Damn it.
We should do it. We should do it.
Let me tell y'all about this Black Daniels.
Where you're Black Daniels, and it's nothing but the truth from you. Like I asked you hard questions, and it's just like
I hate them people on Instagram too because
Black Daniels people.
Yeah, because I like post little videos and stuff. Then they start talking about Black Daniels.
It's so good.
Or somebody else said, "Hey, would you drive an Uber?"
That's what you are now.
Another wrinkle to that, by the way, later. We'll discuss that new people.
Wait a minute, what?
Yep.
You'll see. So Carson Wentz, obviously partially responsible for one of the greatest moments in Eagles history, mm-hmm. and that was the talky-talky pick six.
it was such a bad throw. He just floated into the flat.
If we lose to him, I'm going to go up three octaves Monday.
Merrill Reese's high pitch.
It's the best.
We got to play it again.
Wentz takes the snap. He fakes. He's back. He pumps. He swings it out. And it's intercepted. It's intercepted.
Merrill, if you're listening, I promise we're not laughing at you. It was just we're reliving the moment.
Exactly how I would have sounded if I were calling it.
We all felt the same way. Like, bench this guy now. He was so bad that season.
We should have a new rule in Philadelphia. If you make Merrill climb up three octaves, you're done. Your journey as the Eagles quarterback is over.
I'm thinking now through my memories of the whole Wentz era. Speaking of octaves, I don't know if you guys have ever heard this. I don't even know if we could find it in the WIP archives. But Hugh, I don't think I've ever lost it on a caller more than or about a month before that. Wentz was playing really poorly in 2020, right? He was not worthy of being a starter anymore. He was that bad. Hugh, I took a call on my show at night about Wentz in the middle of his terrible season, the one that led to Jalen becoming the starter. And someone told me, you know, Joe, Peyton Manning struggled in his fourth year. It was the biggest coping I've ever heard.
I think I remember that.
And I lost it. I was like, we're not allowed to do this anymore. We cannot compare this guy to Peyton Manning. We sound ridiculous. And we yelled back and forth for like 5 minutes. And I was later told by that caller that his wife went upstairs to see if he was okay because he was yelling so loud. And she was like worried about it.
Did you stand up?
It was at me. Oh, I stood up. Yeah. I took the glasses off. It was
What are you talking about?
It was a whole thing. I think it's a good thing we're facing. As much as it is a work, if we lose to Wentz, you're right, it will be a disaster around here Monday. I'm glad from a football perspective we're playing him. He's not good. He's not. Now he's at a point where he's a journeyman. The one thing I've noticed is he still has poor pocket presence. He's played okay with a good coach and some good receivers, but I don't expect him to drop 30 on us. If we play well, Hugh, offensively, we should be able to win this game because I don't think the Vikings with Wentz are getting to 30 points.
Totally agree.
So that means our offense has to play decent. We play decent, we should be okay.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Joe to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I really hope, Hugh, that this season for the Eagles isn't ending up as a road to nowhere. But there's some warning signs here that we're on that road. All right, 215-592-9494. Hugh, there's a lot to unpack as we start looking forward to Week 7, which starts tomorrow night in the NFL. And, of course, the Eagles at the Vikings on Sunday as we try to bounce back from a two-game losing streak, which we do not have around here very often, right? They hadn't lost a game.
It's an anomaly.
It is, but unfortunately, it's reality right now for the Eagles. Yeah. Two-game losing streak. Let's hope it doesn't get to three. But, Hugh, it's interesting because we have two different parallels to look at the last two seasons. And one of them was last year, right? Last year they had struggles in the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. As much as the last year's team became great, and they were a great football team, they did have a patch where they did not play well in September. And they came out of that, and they figured it out, they recalibrated, and they got themselves back on track and dominated. Mm-hmm. Of course, though, 2 years ago in 2023, Hugh, they had a patch where they struggled, and they never got back up. Hugh Douglas, when you think about the 2025 Eagles, this team this year, with a lot of the same characters of the last 2 years, coach, quarterbacks, some of the stars.
Yeah.
Is this headed more on a road, hopefully not to nowhere, but is this road headed more like 23, which ended in a collapse and an ugly playoff loss, or is it going to end up more like, all right, so it's good. So where you got, 24?
I refuse.
So this is stubborn Douglas.
Yeah. No, I just refuse to believe that you've reached the heights that you've reached. See, I'm all about, when I listen to what people say, not what they do. Now, some people might be the opposite because right now what they're doing, it just looks disjointed. It
looks bad, yeah.
But when you sit there, like I still believe in old school values, like you know, grown man stuff. That's what we used to call it back in the day, grown man-ish. And when you tell me that, you know, the main thing is the main thing and, you know, it's all about winning and things like that, that to me makes everything else trivial. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is this. The fact that your star receiver, and I'm just using him as an example, there's a disconnect there.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
If you're all about what you say you're about, then you get outside your comfort zone and you fix those problems. So I refuse to believe that that's the case. You broke through last year, Jalen Hurts. That's who I'm talking to. You broke through last year, and you did it on the heels of everybody doubting you, so much so that your mama was in New Orleans, with all due respect to his mother, not trying to be disrespectful, but your mother was in New Orleans checking reporters for talking bad about you. Who was the guy that's on the show with the hair and the nose, the big nose dude that's on Fox?
Nick Wright.
Yeah, you knew who I was talking about.
I did.
So I did a pretty good job of describing him.
Come on.
I mean, is his nose big?
It's not small.
But now I'm thinking about like how you describe me to other people.
I say Kyle with the receding hairline. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do that.
Wow.
I mean, look.
I'm kidding.
That's why it went through my head.
No, I don't describe you like that. I say mean Kyle. Sure, say mean
you
Kyle.
You just crushed him. You crushed him.
Right. I'm kidding. You know, I got to get my shots in because I'm going to be taking shots all day.
I'd Hugh, the fluffy bald guy.
But no, so much so that you had your family members checking him up and like, why are you hating on Jalen so much?
Yeah.
You're a leader. You've talked about being a leader since I've seen you in Alabama at the combine and all this other stuff. Now it's time for you to start with the lip service and be a leader. The fact that every week we come in, and you know, you handle your press conferences the way you want to handle your press conferences. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that. But all that leadership stuff that you're talking about, you need to step up and do that now.
I agree. They do.
You need to do that. You need to get uncomfortable. You need to get uncomfortable and lead this team and put them in the position that they need to be in. I don't think you're playing bad. I don't, me personally, as an individual. But it's not all about you, Jalen. It's about the team. You have to do all that lip service that you gave and all that stuff, with, you know, hanging out with Jordan and opening the store and all that other stuff. You need to get uncomfortable and be the leader that I know that you are. So I refuse to believe that this is going to be the 2023
class. All right, listen, I hope you're right on this. I really do. 215-592-9494. And we all hope it's what it was last year where they had a downturn and then they picked it up and they were dominant and won a Super Bowl. But if I'm looking at this, like, which is it more likely to be? Where are we headed here? It's way more likely to be 23. Here's the reality. Number one, before I get to the football stuff, like just on the field, the way they look, they sound miserable. They sounded miserable in 23. They were a 10-1 football team that was constantly talking about how unhappy they are, how they're not you know, enjoying this. And that's what I've seen so far this season. Do they look happy to you? Does the Eagles look happy? And they're also very loud, very chirpy so far this season. That reminds me of 23. Last year, they struggled. But you know what they did? They got in the room at the bye. We didn't hear about it till afterwards. And they told Nick Sirianni, hey, this is what we need to do. And they got on the same page. Afterwards, we got all the stories about Jalen Hurts and Sirianni talking for hours during the bye about how to recalibrate the team. They put the work in. This year, all I hear is chirping after every game, from the receiver to everybody. Oh, this is disjointed and predictable. Like, everyone's talking. That reminds me of 2023. Mm. The second thing that reminds me of 2023 is all these games are coin flip games. That's what that year was. They happened to go 10-1, and it was great that they won all those games. But really, all of us watching it, and that year I thought it was more on the defense than the offense, but watching it, it was like, I mean, they're 10-1, but they didn't look like a 10-1 team. They just happened to win those games. This year, they're 4-2, but I think if we watched the whole thing, we were like, well, it didn't look right. It didn't look right the first 4 weeks, and now they happen to have lost a couple. They're probably more like a 3-3 team that has a 4-2 record. The third thing that reminds me of 23 is the post-Super Bowl defections. That roster in 23 wasn't as great as the year before because they lost half that defense after the Super Bowl. Right? All those guys, T.J. Edwards and, you know, their defensive tackle. I mean, Hargrave, they lost a lot of good football players from the 22 team, and it really impacted 23. And I'm looking at this year's team, and we talked about this in March when they had free agency and they lost all those good players. They don't have as many good players in the team this year. I mean, not that they don't have good players. They have enough good players, but they don't have as many. Just think about the roster. Last year, I was going to give you the secondary right now, right? Last year's secondary was Darius Slay, Isaiah Rogers, mm-hmm. Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Reed Blankenship. This year, like, think about the secondary that's going into play on Sunday against Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and the Vikings. They're going to have Cooper DeJean, Dory Jackson, Keely Ringo, Andrew Makuba, and Reed Blankenship. It is a way different football team in terms of overall talent. And then the thing that makes me really concerned that it's more like 23 than it is last year is you look at the offense right now, and as much as last year was, man, they got to get it going. It's a little choppy. They're not scoring enough. Jalen's a little bit, you know, is up and down. Guys, the offense right now through six games compared to last year, it's not even close. And last year, we didn't even think it was a great offense until Saquon got rolling. Through six games last year, they were averaging 362 yards offense. This year, 274. Last year at this point, 5.5 yards a play. This year, 4.7. Last year at this time, 5.6 yards a rush. This year, 3.7. Last year, they had 44 explosives. This year, it's 33. I mean, I just think they're not as great of a team as they were last year, just talent-wise. Mm-hmm. The vibes are way more like 23. Boy, Hugh, I hope you're right, but every sign to me is pointing that this is going to be way more like 23 than 24. 215-592-9494.
You brought a lot of fact. You brought a lot of fire.
What am I supposed to do here?
You hate to see facts.
What am I supposed to do? All right.
Hey, God, damn.
You know what? Nick Sirianni may disagree with my facts. He was on the morning show yesterday. Here's Sirianni when John Ritchie brought up this exact topic to him.
How do we know that this two-game slide isn't the 2023 slide?
How do you know it's not the 24 slide, right?
Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, I understand. I understand where you guys are at. We're doing everything we can do to fix it and to get better. I can just tell you this, I don't know if this will ease your fears, and I don't expect it to, but we're doing everything we can as coaches. It was great to have a kind of a mini bye to be able to do some things there. Yeah. And I know the players are doing everything that they can do to help themselves get better fundamentally, better as players. And everybody has that mindset that, you know, there's a hunger mindset on this football team. And that's what you expect with the people that we have in this building, just the obsession with winning and getting better. And we have that throughout the building, coaches and players.
Future talk show host Nick Sirianni, real spin doctor stuff.
Spin
there.
Doctor.
I mean, that reminded me of you. John,
what do
asked
you mean?
Well, John asked the question, how do we know this isn't the collapse of 2 years ago? How do you know it's not last year?
Well, I guess the premise is that we don't know.
We don't.
We're recklessly
don't.
Speculating.
Of course, we all are. And we're all hoping you're right. Like,
yes.
Hugh, I want you to be so right, because that means we're going to Santa Clara and there'll be another Super Bowl and this thing becomes a like, I want you to be right. Just the signs are, they look to me like 2 years ago.
But also, there are signs like, I look at it like this, and I'm not putting it all on Jalen, but I kind of am, because he's the leader of the team. Mm-hmm. He's the guy you're looked at to get everybody on the same page. And this is an uncomfortable situation, because we're talking about it. We talk about this so much that we don't even have a chance to talk about the opponent. The fact that we have a really good football team that we got to go play, because we're trying to figure out what the hell's going on with our squad. Mm-hmm. And we have a dynamic leader in there that I believe in, that has defied all things that have been said about him. You know, when you talk about his ability to do certain things, he's not as talented as other quarterbacks that are his peers. But he's accomplished way more than they have. That's why I believe in Jalen Hurts. But he's in a position, in a situation right now, where he has to start to show his leadership. I think back to when they had a video, the Eagles showed it last year, where they asked, I guess they asked him, why should we draft you?
Oh, his draft video from the combine.
And he said, one of the things that jumped out to me and really resonated with me was, he said, he's a leader. I'm a leader, coach. And right now, from our perspective, I'll just say it like that, and from some of the things that have been said by other people, you need to be more of a leader. You need to be more of a boots on the ground guy. You need to be more of a personable person. Because, okay, if full transparency here, if you're saying that this is closer to 2023, I would say the biggest thing is, it feels like Jalen has distanced himself, or it feels distant from everybody else.
And that team that year had a weird vibe about them.
Yes.
Just a weird vibe.
Damn it, Joe. Made me think about that.
Uh-oh. I made you think?
No.
Problem. Yeah, Joe wins.
All right, we can all go home now.
No, but my point is this. There were eerie vibes of Jalen being a separatist in that situation.
What is this, Star Wars?
Yeah. I'm using all my analogies.
All right, we need Eagles as Star Wars characters as we go throughout the show today.
Have you seen the Eagles? Have you seen the Star Wars helmets that are football helmets?
No, you got to show me those.
I got to show you those. But anyway, my point,
as we stay on task.
No, but Jalen needs to be more of a leader. Jalen needs to bring this team together.
Can't let it happen again.
I think he's the only person that can do that.
215-592-9494. Let's hear from Jordan Mailata. I mean, he actually was the first person to bring up the 23 thing. I think it was after week two or week three. He brought up, and I read it on the air, the quote was like, hey, we can't let 23 happen again, which means it's seeping into that building. They're thinking about that, which I don't love that. But Mailata the other night on the Jordan Mailata show on 23 versus this season, this actually might make you feel a little better.
What makes you confident the coaching is great?
Well, just being there in 23 and hearing the detail that's being coached, being at the practices, that the detail, even in the drills, when they coach the drills, the detail, that's the difference. Detail wasn't there in 23, and I will happily say that.
Okay.
I'll be honest there. The detail was not there. The technique was not there in 23, and now it is. So I can't relate the two. And for me, that's where I draw it back to the execution of players part.
Boy, Brian Johnson taking strays there. He doesn't even realize. And Ms. Mailata says the detail wasn't there in 23. So, I mean, that makes you feel better. That Mailata is saying the coaching at least is better. And on the defensive side, obviously it is. 215-592-9494. Lot to discuss here on the midday show today. Kyle, what do you feel in this season? We had a Mortars 23 or 24.
Yeah, I mean, long talking Hugh and Denial Douglas can dance around this all he wants.
Yep,
taking strays.
Nick Sirianni can deny this all he wants. But the problem is, I have eyes, I have a brain, and I have what we call memory. It's all the same. This is all the same. The only difference is, we're not going to get to 10-1, guys. I mean, we already can't.
Well, that's over,
10-1. Yeah. They're collapsing after 4 weeks. I mean, you can't collapse after 4 weeks, guys. And the biggest problem is, if what Hugh said is true, is that this is up to Jalen Hurts to be the leader and turn this thing around, then we're in big trouble. I'm sorry. We need to be realistic about who Jalen Hurts is. He can say he's a leader all he wants, but we've been through this multiple years where the Eagles have put out publicly and even privately, apparently had to go to his house and talk to him about being more of a leader.
I don't recall that.
What are you, AJ Brown now?
Yeah. I do. As a matter of fact,
AJ Douglas has arrived.
I mean, like, hey, Kyle, as a matter of fact, I did record it, but it hurt when you said it.
These are all things that we know to be true. And like, that's okay, right? But like, I think we need to look elsewhere. If we're gonna drag this thing out of the mud, like I just think we need to be a little bit more realistic. Like people, leopards can't change their spots, right? That's the saying. Did I nail that?
No,
I
mean,
close enough. Yeah, probably.
Okay. Zebra can't change the stripes.
Yeah, same.
Leopards,
same
spots.
Deal. Leopards have spots.
Zebras don't have spots.
Yeah, just like I don't expect.
We're locked in.
I don't expect that to happen. Like there's. It's going to have to come from elsewhere, and you know, is it possible? Yeah, but
it can't come from elsewhere. But it has to come from.
Oh, so then we're in trouble.
Okay, so we could argue that aspect. He's also not Superman. I mean, like, I'm not trying to take his leadership off the hook. I think he does need to be a great leader and make sure this doesn't fall apart. They also might not be great enough roster wise. They lost a lot of great football players. On Sunday, they're going to line up with Kelee Ringo and Adoree Jackson. Do you know who's on the other side? Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Jalen might need to be Superman to get him through this game. And Wentz might be the quarterback on their side. Like, we're just not a great... Last year, they came together holistically. They came together coaching-wise. They came together from a leadership perspective. And the team was special, loaded, deep. This year might not be any of those things. They might just be a good team that has to fight through some stuff. 215-592-9494, 23 or 24. Where's this season headed more likely in your mind?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Show to camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hopefully the Eagles are feeling petty and they go out there and beat the crap out of the Vikings on Sunday because we need a win. We need a victory here. And more than anything, we need a bounce back. We need this team to play good football. It's been a few weeks now since they've played good football, and we're not used to this. I mean, this group, this team has not had a lot of down in the last few years. There's been some peaks and valleys, but like in the last two seasons, last year and this season, we've just expected wins week after week after week. And, you know, there's different ways to look at this particular game on Sunday, right? Like, some people might deem this a must-win. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of season to go. The NFC East doesn't look great.
I feel like it is.
You feel like it is?
I don't feel like being 3-0 in the last 3 weeks.
0-3, yeah. I don't either. I don't want to do that. But
that was that math. That's my math.
0-3.
Because Kyle.
Yeah, we looked at you like, what the hell are you talking about? It's okay. We're just getting started. Look, I don't know. Like, must win. Could they lose this game and be fine? Probably. But it's more about, do we believe in them? And can we trust this year's team versus, you know, last year's team got on a roll and they became very trustworthy. As we start this week, as we start this weekend, as we get started talking about this football game, the Eagles and the Vikings, which obviously has the backdrop of the quarterback on the other side, likely to be Carson Wentz on Sunday. Hugh Douglas, are you confident that we're getting an Eagles bounce back? Because more than anything, I need a bounce back.
Yes.
Confident?
I'm confident.
With a capital C or lowercase?
With a capital.
Oh, my.
Capital. I'm confident.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Joe, sometimes my faith and my belief, it's not based in anything.
Okay.
It's based in. Yeah, I'm about to.
This is not
about to cook. I'm about to cook. I'm about to tell you why.
Why? I have no idea. No, go ahead.
You're right for the most part.
Yeah.
I just believe. I refuse to believe that as much as the quarterback and this team has accomplished over the last couple of seasons, that they're going to let some petty squabbles derail something great that they might have going. I refuse to believe that. And that's me having faith in what I know about the game of football and how I know that, you know, being in locker rooms similar to the one that they're in, how there's some passionate guys in there that want to win. I mean, Jordan Mailata, Cam Jurgens, Landon Dickerson, most of those guys, and how they've going out of their way to be leaders and try to keep this team together. I refuse to believe that they're going to let this team slide.
So I hope you're right on this. And I do think that there's enough history here with these guys, and they've won enough and professional enough that I would think they're not going to let this thing totally go off the rails. But Hugh, for me, the reason that, look, I hope they're going to win, and I think it's going to be a close game on Sunday, but I don't have extreme confidence that they're going to go out there and play good football on Sunday. Number one, I need to see them do it. Like, this is one of those.
That's fair.
I need to see it before I believe it. Sometimes you could believe before you see it, blind faith, all that kind of stuff. Not one time this season, not one in six games, have they had more yards than their opponent. That's not good. Not one time this season have they had more first downs than their opponent. Not good. They're coming off a game where they got their ass kicked by a bad football team. I know the Giants have a little bit more life to them now with a young quarterback. They're not a good football team. And we got crushed by them last week. I need to see the Eagles play well. I need to see it before I believe it. And Hugh, it's fair to mention the, I don't know what you call it, the personality stuff, right? The off the field, whatever's going on over there between the quarterback and the receiver. And if that was the only issue with the Eagles, I'd say, you know what? Those guys eventually got to get this figured out. That last year they kind of did, and they patched things up, and then we moved on. But my concern is that they don't really have the other stuff going, right? Like, stuff that has nothing to do with AJ and Jalen is also not good. They're not a good running team right now. Their offensive line isn't playing to the level it used to. They're going up against a high-level defensive coordinator on Sunday in Brian Flores, who's going to make life difficult on them. And their defense, while we're getting some good news, sounds like Jalen Carter's going to play. Quinyon Mitchell full at practice yesterday. Mm-hmm. That is great news. And maybe we get those guys on the field. They're just not whole. I mean, this edge rush group right now, like, this should be a game on Sunday. We're going to get to the Wentz aspect of this, which makes it even more interesting on Sunday. Hugh, this is a game on Sunday. They should rack up six sacks. Carson Wentz's pocket presence has always stunk since he was a young player. It's never improved. When he was athletic and he was young, he used to run out of sacks and make fun plays. But now that he's not, right, he's in his 30s and he doesn't move like he used to, he is a walking sack. We should get five or six sacks on Sunday by accident. But does anyone believe what our edge rushing group, we're going to get that? We are down a lot right now. There's no Nolan Smith. There is obviously no Za'Darius Smith because he chose to go home. And we're talking about an edge rush group that is just very thin and not accomplished. So in a game where they should have some advantages, no, I'm not confident. I need to see them play well. Hugh, this is one of those weeks where we're going to look. I think we look back when the season ends and say this was the week they either got it back together or all the issues they kept popping back up.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think when you look at the team and some of the things that have happened this week and some of the conversations that are being had, they know that this could easily slide and get out of hand. So that's why I feel confident in the brain trust over there and the leadership over there that they're going to get it right this week. Because, boy, I tell you, if they don't, boy, it's going to be a rough Monday. But I don't foresee that happening. I don't see that happening. Yeah. They're going to take care of business Sunday.
I just need to see it again before I believe it. I just want one game. And I thought it'd be last Thursday. I absolutely thought it'd be last Thursday against the Giants. I need to see a game where they are the better football team from start to finish. And I haven't seen one this year. They won four games, and that's a credit to them. And they found a way, and they were opportunistic and smart and all those things. But they haven't outgained an opponent once. They haven't had more first downs once. Like, I need to see one game where I watch from start to finish and I say they were better the entire time. I haven't seen it once this year. 215-592-9494. Let's start with the Eagles here. We got a big one on Sunday as we try to avoid a three-game losing streak. Are you confident the Eagles are going to bounce back on Sunday? Hugh Douglas, for reasons he doesn't even know, he's confident.
That's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't need any rhyme or reason. No, I have faith.
Faith in what?
I think
team.
It would be nice for people to hear a rhyme or reason.
Yeah. Faith. You got to have faith, man.
Well, you don't really.
Well, okay.
Yes.
Because Nick Sirianni's a darn good coach.
Well, that's the first time you said it.
He's still a bubblehead, though.
There you go.
He's a bubblehead coach. He's a good coach. Yeah. And I feel like we have a good squad. We have a really, really good squad. And we will bounce back.
All right. Yeah, I'm fired up.
Yeah. So
I don't like the sarcasm. It's Friday, man, and we're getting ready for the weekend. Do you know what I did last night, Kyle?
Come on.
I sat out in the cold and watched the baseball game last night.
You should be happy about that.
Sounds like a you problem.
You got to see a future big leaguer swatting uppercuts.
And the ice cream, it was cold out there last night.
Yeah, it was cold.
Whew. And the ice cream man had the nerve to be out there selling ice cream.
Well, that's what the ice cream man does.
It was like 40 degrees. I want him to take his ass home and put a coat on and stop playing that damn music when it's cold outside.
He's got bills to pay, just
like
you. You
know what the worst thing in the world is when you walk off the field from that, the ice cream truck's blaring, and you're freezing, and you have some seven-year-old look you dead in the face and say,
yeah, this
I want some ice
this
cream.
All comes down to Hugh just not wanting to spend money on it.
Of course it is.
I didn't have any money on me. Yeah, he ain't getting no ice cream. But I say he
well, you
ice.
Know what?
Nobody got an ice cream.
You know what started
night.
To happen with us
with
flag football last spring? The ice cream guys put the Venmo on the truck. Because there's been a few times where, like, I don't have any cash. And then what are you going to do, right? But then he puts the Venmo there, and I'm like, oh. Well, we're getting ice cream then.
I hate the ice cream, man, because they take away all the excuses that we used to have not to spend money. Oh, yeah, we got cash. Yeah, we got Venmo.
Yeah, no, they get you anyway. Yeah, so I guess what we realized this morning is Hugh was asked to spend money last night, and he came in salty about it. 215-592-9494. All right, are you confident the Eagles bounce back this weekend? No, I need to see it. They just got blown out by a team that I know people are like, oh, the Giants are maybe a little better now. They're going to win six games. I mean, let's be clear about what the Giants are. They're not a good football team. We got blown out last week. So the Eagles need to show it to me before I just start blindly believing it, like Blind Belief Douglas over here. All right, 215-592-9494. Can we hear from, let's hear from A.J. Brown, the vibe of the team, the vibe of the locker room this week. A.J. talking a couple days ago.
What's the vibe of the team as you guys try to write the shit?
You tell me. You listen. What you think? Sound normal, huh?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, normal, exactly. So, you know, we're not letting a loss just humble us, and you know, you can't let it humble. You got to keep going, you know, and continue to find ways. You know, this team is fine. This team is motivated and trying to get on the same page.
All right, that sounded a little better than some of the AJ stuff we've heard this year. At least he said they're trying to find a way. I mean, it kind of was interesting how he said, "You tell me." We're supposed to tell him how the vibe is. Dude, you're the one that has to go make a play.
I think he started to be a malcontent, then he thought about it. Mm. He's like, this might not be the time.
Yeah, he'll wait till after the game on Sunday.
He's like, this might not be the time.
Yeah, hold that
to
back
be a contrarian.
Yep, yep.
I gotta get it right.
All right, let's hear from, can we hear from Jaws earlier this week? Ron Jaworski talking about the matchup here against the Minnesota Vikings.
Jaws, Minnesota, two-part question. How good are the Vikings? And if Carson Wentz is the quarterback against the Eagles, has his game evolved since the end of his tenure here, or is he pretty much what people became accustomed to seeing near the end of his time here?
Yeah, I think Carson is, as much as I love and respect the guy, he's a journeyman quarterback right now, and you know, he's not the same guy that we saw when he came to the Eagles as the number one draft choice. He was an incredibly talented guy. I think the injuries have banged. If it bothered him, he's not the same guy, but he can still play and he can still beat it. So you can't underestimate Carson Wentz. He's an incredible athlete. But I'm more concerned about this Minnesota defense. They play great defense, and they got a scheme that's going to not only physically put pressure on our offensive line, but mentally put pressure on our pass protections. They do a great job of getting after the quarterback. Jalen has to be at his best in this game, or he could get embarrassed.
Well, that last part, and I agree with Jaws' assessment. Look, you know, I don't have the same venom I used to Carson Wentz. He's humbled and journeyman in his career. We'll get to Carson and him playing on Sunday. I'm not worried about losing to Carson Wentz. I'm not worried about him beating the Eagles. What I am concerned about is Brian Flores and the defense going up against our offense that has scored 17 points in back-to-back games. That's where we got to wake up and figure this thing out. 215-592-9494. Kyle, how you feeling as we start off a football Friday? Are you confident we get a bounce back from the Birds?
So a little bit disappointed because I made a side bet with you before the show.
Yeah.
That when you asked Hugh why the Eagles were going to bounce back, he was going to say because they have to.
And he didn't say
and
that.
And he didn't.
No. I mean, we're both shocked.
I hate both of y'all right now.
Honestly.
The odds honestly, on that were minus said, 300.
What you said might have made me feel even worse, to be honest with you. You're like, I don't know. I mean, like.
I didn't say, I was like, I don't have the rhyme or reason, but I think that's the leadership in there. Mm.
Leadership?
You don't think they have leaders? Yeah.
What were the leaders there last week when they got crushed? Are they leaders only when things get really bad or only half bad?
No, they've known for weeks that there are issues that could crop up and bite you in the boot. And unfortunately for us, it happened back to back. We went back to back. You can't make a three-peat. Can't do that.
They can. But how am I supposed to have any confidence that these issues that they've known that they've had for weeks now are just all of a sudden magically going to be fixed against a guy that's, historically had Jalen Hurts' number?
Well, this is what it is, Kyle. It's you go into the season, right, and you're always striving, especially at the beginning of the year. You say, okay, yeah, we won, but – and that's kind of how you watch film, if I could frame it for you that way. And as the season progresses, you try to play your best football. You try to play better than you did the week before. And to a man, this Eagles team, I said for the last few weeks, even when they were undefeated, hey, we still haven't played our best football.
Yeah.
So they've been aware.
They're pretty self-aware of that.
They're, they're pretty self-aware of where they are. So unfortunately for them, it came up and bit them in the butt two times.
Mm-hmm.
The first time was in Denver, where you're looking like, hey, to be honest, that game could have went either way.
And then I do think Denver's going to turn out to be a good team.
Yeah, but
the
that
one
game,
last week is annoying because the Giants are not good.
Because the Giants they only got two wins on the docket.
And no wide receivers.
And
yeah,
they can't. You went up there and you got the brakes beat off you. That was a slap across the lips and a wake-up call.
Yeah, I mean,
so that's why I feel like, okay, now it's more of a situation where they're looking at it like, hey, you know what? We got to get our head out of our rear.
I do agree. The last week had to be a wake-up call. Yeah. They didn't lose by a toss-up game. They lost by 17.
They got manhandled.
Yeah, to a team that they're clearly better than.
And do I think they're better than the Vikings? Yeah, of course I do. But, like, I mean, I'm even picking them to win, but I think you'd have to be a crazy person to say you're confident.
Yeah, that's where I can't get to this morning. Like, can they win a 23-20 game? Can they win 20-19?
But
confident, my goodness.
Here's the thing, because I know at some point, when we start talking to these folks, it's going to get there. We going there. It's going to happen. It's going to be inevitable.
The quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
because of what we see, we are a people of, you know, like, it's one of those things where, you know, we're prisoners of the moment.
Mm.
And the moment is this, folks. We all watched a football game last night where we saw a buddy drive 3 hours from Cleveland to Cincinnati. And had three practices and went out there and looked like he'd been there the whole training camp.
A 40-year-old quarterback.
Yeah. The battle of the OGs.
Yeah. Joe Flacco last night threw for 342 yards. He just got there. Okay, so like, right. I mean, it does play into your thinking. Like, why can't our passing game work? Like, why can't it work to a high level? Like, why?
Joe, you know what I thought about? Because I did it. And I'm an Eagles fan. Well, everybody else that thought this is Eagles fans too, but it's like, how come my quarterback can't do that? Why he make it look so easy?
Just throwing a Jamar Chase over and over and over again.
And you know who else was mad about that? Because I'm going to help. See, because today's Friday and I'm petty and I got a couple days before I holler at y'all anyway. you know who else thought that? If they watched that game?
A.J. Brown.
Joe, we've been working together too long.
AJ Brown.
AJ Brown.
16 catches for Jamar Chase?
Wait a minute. Hold up. We need to call all the Best Buys in this. Well, they don't got Circuit City anymore, dude. That's like old school.
What year are you in?
Dude, Circuit City's been gone for a very long time.
Not Circuit City, but all the places that sell TVs. And see if they had to deliver some new big screen TVs to AJ House, because he probably broke his television last night watching that.
Circuit City's last day of operations was March 8th, 2009.
Oh,
2009.
No.
You were closer to being in the league still than you were on the radio.
You get my point. You get the point that I'm making. The bottom line is this. There's a lot of hot receivers last night that played for the Eagles, probably looking at that game.
Of course.
What do you think Smitty was feeling?
He felt like crap. I got Circuit City Douglas over here. 215-592-9494.
Old ass man out there slinging the rock like that.
You started telling us why we're confident. Now you're telling us about old man slinging the rock.
Listen, I'm the drunk uncle at the barbecue. I got to keep it a bean. And you know it was coming. You knew as soon as you started talking to these folks, somebody was going to bring it up.
I know. Well,
so
listen,
I just beat them to
it. You started off. Black Daniels over here.
You know, we've talked a lot, of course, about the current Eagles. And most times when we talk about them, a lot of the comparisons have been to 2023. Is this going to be like 2023? And Nick Sirianni brought up when he was on with the morning show the other day, well, we turned it around in 2024. So it seems like the two options we've been talking about for this Eagles team on this Football Friday are, which way is it going to go? Are they going to unravel like 2023? Or are they going to get it together, become a Super Bowl contender like 2024? But I was thinking this morning, those aren't really the two paths. I think there are three paths for this team. And this will be an On the Record Friday. We want to know which path you think these Eagles are going to take. 215-592-9494. The way I see it, there are three paths. There is, it unravels completely, gets ugly like 2023. That's certainly possible. There is, they get it together, they have too much talent, they end up being a Super Bowl contender just like 2024. That is one path. But the third path, I think, is the most maddening, and I actually think is the most likely, is that it stays kind of like this all year long. That we will get some weeks where the Eagles look good, and we will get some weeks where the Eagles look bad. We will get some games where they look good and they look bad. They will be overall pretty confounding, and we will wind up with some sort of 9-10 win season, maybe get in the playoffs, something like that. We talk ourselves into it.
That is the
other option, is that it just sort of stays like this, that we get a true Super Bowl hangover season for the whole season, that it doesn't unravel, it doesn't come together, it just sort of stays like this. So Ike, will ask you, and I'm asking you at 215-592-9494, which path do you think it takes?
No surprise here, brother. I haven't given up on back-to-back. We're going back to the Super Bowl like I predicted at the beginning of the year, and I haven't wavered from that. And here's why. I believe there's enough time to get this thing turned around, Spike. I really do. There are small signs that I'm liking. Not big signs to tell me there's a great change about to happen. But if I can get small signs that things are at least headed in a positive direction, then time is on my side, because I have 12 weeks to get this thing the way we want it to be. I don't know what the ultimate record is going to be at the end.
Sure,
but
yeah.
But there is the potential to be playing your best football late in the year and this thing clicking, and then you go on a run because you know what that feels like to be in the postseason, to play football, meaningful football in late December, January, into February. We have that experience more than any other NFC team. More than any other NFC teams. Now, there's some coaches that have great experience, but I don't know if their rosters have the experience that the Eagles have over the last 3 years with the majority of this roster and the coaching staff. So I'm going to hang my hat on that. And here's another thing that I'll look at. If they can get past Sunday, and Sunday won't be an easy win. It won't be. It's not an easy task. A, it's on the road.
Yep, against a tough defense.
Yes. Until I can really see the running game get going, everything is going to look difficult to me.
Yep.
But if they can get past Sunday with a W, you got the Giants after that at home. That's a win.
Oh, yeah.
Not being swept by the Giants. Okay. That's not happening.
All right.
Then we got a bye week. You come out of the bye week, you got Green Bay, who I think is a good team, not a great team.
Okay.
You got Detroit. It's at home.
Okay.
It's at home, not on the road.
It's a good team, though.
No, very good team.
Yeah,
arguably the best team in the NFC right now.
Yeah.
No, that's going to be a difficult opponent. This is where I'm assuming we're starting to get going, right? And so I'm assuming that's a toss-up right there. That's a toss-up. And then I got the Cowboys, the Bears, the Chargers, the Raiders, Washington. Buffalo won't be easy on the road. I had that as a loss already. But you got Washington in two out of the last 3 weeks. All I'm saying is that somehow we made it through the most difficult stretch of the schedule, the first 4 weeks. We made it through it undefeated.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
If we can get through this stretch here, winning the majority of the games, you go into the playoffs at 12-5, winning the NFC East, you're hosting a playoff game.
Yep.
I trust us. So,
and I would say that is Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
That's really the question. The question is less about what their record will be. It's more about a feel. Is it an unraveling? Is it a come together where we go into the playoffs and they're a real Super Bowl contender? Or is it just sort of this, you know, two steps forward, two steps back, sort of back and forth, we're going to have to talk ourselves into it season? And that is what it feels like to me.
And I understand that. All I'm saying is right now, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Now, we get to the bye week and say we've lost. If we lose to Minnesota, you're 4-3, and then we go into the bye week at 5-3. Yeah, it won't feel as good.
Yep.
It won't feel as good.
but you're still 5-3.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's no one in the NFC right now that's undefeated.
Running away with it. I mean,
and Tampa is 5-1. Everybody's sort of waiting for that to come back to earth a little bit. You're really in there with, you know, the Lions are 4-2. The Niners are 4-2. They seem like a fake 4-2. The Rams are 4-2. Who knows?
I think Detroit and Tampa. I like Tampa because of what they're doing. I like Detroit because of what they're doing.
Yep. Yeah. They're good teams.
Green Bay has a little bit of experience. They've been in the playoffs the last 2 years, so you got to give them credit for that.
But not running away with it. Yeah. There doesn't look to be any team that is. All right, 215-592-9494. It's on the record Friday. Which path do you see most likely for the Eagles? They end up as a Super Bowl contender, it completely unravels, or we stay in this middle portion where it doesn't really feel like anything and ends up being a true Super Bowl hangover season. Jack, which path do you think is most likely?
I think they're going to be fine.
Really?
I think they're going to be fine. They're like, I like a lot of stuff coming out of the locker room this week. I know it sounds like I'm trying to talk yourself into
that. That's good stuff.
It's good stuff. The AJ thing was, I thought, putting on a little bit of an act. But like, I liked what Saquon said. And I think Saquon's the real equalizer here, you know? And I think he said he's falling back in love with the process again. Like, the second Saquon gets back to being Saquon, they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
So I think this is still 11-12 win football team.
And they go into the playoffs as Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah.
Again.
They're going through a rough patch.
And all the mood stuff is one thing. The offensive line not playing well is something that's really real. I can't even remember experiencing that as an Eagles fan, you know, anytime recently.
It's been a while. Well, really, I mean, that 2020 season was so bad, I don't even know who to blame what in that season.
We weren't even there. It didn't even count. That was one of the weirdest things ever is when I went for Merrill, Mike, and Howard to call that game, and I was in the stadium with nobody in the stands watching that game. One of the weirdest things ever in history. We're joined by Mike Mayock. You can hear Mike every week on the Believe in Eagles podcast with Lee Mayock. What's up, Mike? How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
What up, Mike?
Mike, do you know it's Ike's birthday?
Man, Ike, is it really? Happy birthday, brother.
Yes, thank you, brother.
How old are you, man?
Too old, Mike, too old.
No. Give me a number, brother.
52.
52 is nothing.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? You're a puppy.
Yeah, look at how good he looks for 52.
I appreciate it.
So, Mike, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Jordan Mailata to start, same question I asked Shio Kapadia. Let's see what your answer is. If given what you are seeing with the Eagles right now, if I were to ask you, give me something that they are doing particularly well that gives me a little optimism moving forward, what would your answer be?
Oh boy, that's not a good question right now.
that is the same answer.
That's consensus answer right there.
Even from Jordan. Yeah, that is a. Because, you know, we've talked a little bit about how the league overall, it doesn't seem like there's a dominant team right now. But for most of the good teams, you can look around and say, they're doing this well. The problem with the Eagles that we seem to be finding is that it's hard, you know, defensively or offensively to say here is something that this team is about that they can sort of hang their hat on moving forward.
We talked several weeks ago when they were undefeated.
Yes.
About how I didn't feel like they had an identity offensively. Right. And I feel the same way now. And you know, they're 4-2 coming off a mini bye. And, you know, I saw a stat the other day, which was kind of frightening, which was they've been outgained every game this year.
Yep.
Which is only the sixth team in the last 85 years with a winning record that was outgained every game through six. And the other five have collectively zero playoff wins. So it's really not a good benchmark for where the Eagles are today. You know, I break down the film and I look at all that. Sometimes I feel like that's a little bit overwhelming to talk about, you know, particularly. And I'm getting frustrated because each week I'm seeing the same things. And to be really honest, I think the most important thing to me is that you have to win up front on both sides of the line of scrimmage. And we spent a lot of time with Jalen and the wideouts and Saquon and why aren't we running the ball And at the end of the day, I keep coming back to this fact, and that is the Eagles, as much as I love Stout, and I think they will fix it, it is a process, but the Eagles' offensive line played significantly better last year than they have this year. And, you know, if you want to give them a little bit of a pass, you know, Toth is not a starting guard. Steen effectively is a first-year player. Juergens is a third-year player. So the interior line, that's not a lot of seasoning by NFL standards. And again, to be honest, as much as I love the tackles and have more respect for those two tackles, maybe than I've watched all their games, but Mailata and Lane Johnson are not playing up to their standard either. And I think that's the beginning of everything on the offensive side of the line of scrimmage.
Well, and when you say an identity, because we talked on the day of the Giants game, and your what you wanted to see them do was, I don't care if it's we're not working, run the ball. And it's amazing because the first couple of Saquon runs were great. And I said to myself, there it is.
Yeah, here we go.
There it is. And then all of a sudden it disappeared. And it has to be so difficult to establish an identity when you can't do the one thing that has been your identity in the entire, you know, I'm just saying, the entire Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni era, the running game has been the thing that they've been able to hang their hat on, and they're just, it doesn't seem like they're able to do it.
Yeah, and Saquon took himself out after that second run. Something happened to him. He was gesturing to his helmet or his eyes or something. And then he didn't come back in. Dylan, I think, went for minus two or three, and then they threw the ball and kicked the field goal.
Yeah.
But, you know, as bad as it all was at halftime, they threw the ball for, I don't know, plus close to 200 yards and had 17 points on the board. They're down three. They don't score another touchdown. They ran the ball three or four times in the second half for like 5 yards. And again, I don't understand who they are and what they're trying to do, but I do believe in the people in charge. That's what I hope for.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time talking about that offense and that offensive line, Mike. You know, one of the things that helped them be as good as they were last year and really stay committed to a running game, even when things weren't going well, is that their defense played so much better last year. It started up front for them. And this year, I just don't see where they're getting anything from this defensive line from a production standpoint. Other than Jordan Davis in those first few games, it just feels like we're not getting any big plays up front. And with Za'Darius Smith abruptly retiring, I mean, that just hurts the depth on this line, which it really couldn't afford to have.
Yeah, and I think you're getting to the heart of what dynamic, the term dynamic means on defense. It's usually generated by your defensive line, whether it's hitting the quarterback, pressuring the quarterback, getting him off the spot, sacking the quarterback. But it typically leads to dynamic plays for your defense. And the Eagles aren't getting that. They're not getting the turnovers. They're not getting the big plays on defense. It's tough with against the Giants. No Jalen Carter, no Nolan Smith. Quinyon Mitchell goes out early. That's okay. That's tough. I get it. But the dynamic plays are not there. We talked about the two offensive tackles not playing to their standard. I mean, even Jalen Carter, when he's
yeah.
played this year, I don't think he's played to his standard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, early in the year, Vic was talking about how, you know, he was coming off some stuff in camp and they had to get him in shape, but he's playing over 90% of the snaps. And you know, the Eagles need more from him as far as dynamic plays are concerned. Because if they don't get it from him, I don't think they're going to get it from anybody until Nolan Smith comes back.
Former GM Mike Mayock, you've been around this business a long time, Mike. We get around this time of the year, you get close to the trade deadline, we're trying to figure out how do you improve the team. And I'm assuming from your viewpoint, you have to decide at some point, is the team worth the investment or reinvestment of going out and trying to acquire players via trade, giving up draft capital, what have you. Where you see the Eagles at right now, we're three or four weeks away from that trade deadline. you still feel like this is a team that you would be willing to invest in if there's a trade out there that could upgrade this roster somewhere, particularly on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I do. It has to make sense. I think big picture, Ike, as far as what you're trying to do next year and the year after also, every once in a while you can just say, nah, forget it. I'm going to go get somebody. And if it's a one-year rental for 6 weeks, that's okay. Right?
Yep.
And that is okay if you're in that position. I don't think the Eagles know or we know what position they're going to be in at the trade deadline. This season could go one of two ways. It could go the way of the 23 team. It could go the way of the 24 team.
Yeah.
And that's kind of scary. So I don't think all the pieces are in place yet for Howie. But the one thing I would tell you about Howie, because I know it personally, is he's making more phone calls, and I've told you guys this, than any GM in the league. And he's doing it now. And he's out there banging out there, looking for those two positions. And if something makes sense, he'll pull the trigger.
Mike, one more, just to jump back to the offense for a second. There has been so much conversation on the air, online, with the players about the predictability issue, or if that is an issue on offense. Do you think that is something that is holding them back, in that they are doing the same things at the same times, or is it more that they're putting themselves in situations where that ends up being the case?
I think there's different definitions of predictability, and I'm gonna bring Ike in on this too, because Ike and I were both defensive players, okay?
Yep.
So I always used to think, what made me uncomfortable as a defensive player, or made our defense in general uncomfortable? And it typically was things that made you think more, okay?
Yeah.
For instance, motion, change of strength of the offense,
yeah,
resetting personnel. That's one way that you've got to think more. If you just line up in a static position offensively, we don't have to think on defense. We got our coverages and we're ready to roll. You change the strength, all the fits change in the run game, everything changes. That's point number one. Number two, an occasional gadget play. Like, you know, you can't just let the backside of the defense chase Saquon down every snap. And they have had an occasional gadget play, but you've got to have something that's a double pass, or the Nick Foles play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Or you've got to have something where the players kind of look forward to practice it, and at the right time, a good play caller can call it. And what's interesting is I watched the Minnesota tape last week, and they ran a gadget play for a touchdown, double pass. You know, from, I forget who it was, the wide out or the tight end threw it. I forget who it was. And you know, they also go no huddle, which that's the third thing, Ike, that I think makes offenses, which makes defenses get nervous.
Yes.
No huddle tempo. Uh-oh, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. Who's our personnel? Are we ready? Can we get set up and go? Mm-hmm. Even if the offense slows it down at the line of scrimmage, you still get the defense thinking more. So in my mind, these are simple things. You're not really changing much in the infrastructure of your offense. You can add some motion. You can add some movement. You can go up tempo. You can throw a gadget in there or two. You can mix up your personnel.
Yeah.
These are all things that keeps us as defensive players off the field, and I don't think they're major changes to what you want to do offensively. So, I mean, that's how
I totally agree with you. It also puts a defense on his heels, so it makes us a little more hesitant versus we're playing downhill and we're playing fast. We have to, like you said, the thinking part of it as a defense, the less you have to think, the more instinctive and more reactive you can be as a player. The more you have to think, that's never good on the defensive side of the football. And that's why guys like McVay, Sean Payton, Kyle Shanahan, those guys are such great play designers, because they give you all of the pre-snap stuff to try to confuse a defense. And like you said, you can even mix up tempo. And that doesn't allow a defense to change personnel. It lessens communication, so it can cause confusion on the defensive side of the ball. And that's really what you want as an offense, is a blown coverage or a missed assignment that you can take advantage of. And that's what we're not doing as an offense, presenting it to defenses. We really are allowing defenses to really just play without really giving them a lot to think about.
That is so well said. And on top of all of that, you mentioned several guys. I would throw in Andy Reid.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Coach. Yeah, for sure. Yep.
I'd throw in Andy. I'd throw in John Gruden. And the amazing thing is the common denominator from all those guys offensively is even though they've got all the French pastry and it looks fancy, at its basic, it's just a basic offense.
Still the same.
With a core of plays. They don't have a lot of plays. They just do them really well.
Yep.
So Vikings on Sunday, what are we running into here? What do, aside from, you know, Justin Jefferson, obviously a great player, what do the Eagles have to worry about on both sides of the ball on Sunday in this game?
I think it's a really tough offense, a really tough challenge for the Eagles offense because I've known Brian Flores for years. He's a Boston College guy, and he's like the king of simulated pressure.
Uh-oh.
So you're going to see 6, 7, 8 guys salivating at the line of scrimmage, and you have no idea which 4 or 5 are coming. They're number 2 in the NFL, both in pressure rate and blitz rate, which is one of the worst things the Eagles have done this year. They've allowed a 40% pressure rate this year. So their strength, the Vikings' defensive strength, is a Philadelphia weakness. They're number 2 in third downs allowed. They're only allowing 30%. I think the Eagles were 1 for 9 last week. So they're giving up 19 points a game, which is 4th or 5th best in the league. So defensively, they're really solid. They do things really well that will give the Eagles problems. The flip side of the ball, yeah, you're right. They've got really good wideouts. They've got a good tight end in Hockenson. They run the ball well. Carson Wentz will probably get the start, I'm thinking, this week. And I think their head coach fits in with the other guys that Ike and I were talking about.
Kevin O'Connell, yeah.
Kevin O'Connell is one of the guys that really makes quarterbacks comfortable. And I'm talking about all year round and especially on Sundays. So he brings the best out in his quarterbacks. I think it's going to come down to some turnovers like usual. The Eagles were -2 in turnover differential. You know, the last 2 weeks, the Eagles have gotten beat the same way, basically. I mean, they've had 2 young quarterbacks not throw the ball, but run the ball, scramble really well, effectively against them. They've had 2 teams run the football right up their butt. You know, they've given up, you know, they've had 2 teams run it 30 and 39 times for over 4.5 yards a pop. So sometimes, Spike, it gets frighteningly simple. You know, they got to stop the run. They can't let Jefferson go wild. And I think it's a tough matchup for their offense.
Well, great to hear. Great to hear. All right,
well,
Mike.
Hey, Spike, here's the last thing. Based on what I told you last Thursday,
yes.
Be very optimistic because I missed on everything.
Well, but I think
we all did.
Yeah, everybody said the same thing. Yeah. Everybody said to themselves, well, how is this Giants offense with a rookie quarterback, with neighbors hurt, how are they going to score any points? And then 30 points later with Cam Scataboo, you know, running all over us. I don't think he's a good player, but I don't think anybody saw that coming.
Yep.
All right, Mike, thank you as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thanks.
There he is, Mike Mayock. That is the third person I've asked for one good thing that they're doing who that they go, ooh.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Ooh. Yeah, let me think about that.
Yeah.
One. Yeah.
That is a terrifying stat as well that what do you say, 6 teams over the last 25 years have been outgained in every game and had a winning record, and the Eagles are the 6, and the other 5 have not won a playoff game.
And this isn't me, especially not me taking some damn victory lap or patting myself on the back, but we, through the first 4 weeks of the season, even when they were 4-0,
yes,
this is what we were talking about. Like, this was the concern when everybody was saying they're winning, be happy with the wins, this and that and the other. Now everybody's mad.
We did a show. Like,
this is why we were doing that.
We did a show where I listed a bunch of stats, and I said, what matters more, this or the fact that they're 4-0? And being 4-0 is important,
yeah.
But as it turns out, when you look back now, maybe we weren't
Even
good.
I, as a win is a win guy.
Yes, it's tough.
Still kind of new. Like, yeah, this ain't gonna last forever. Like, this is not a good trend.
When you're going 30th here, 27th
yeah,
there, 25th
that's not
there.
A good trend.
Well, hopefully the mini buy has. Hopefully, I don't know.
Did they all? Somebody, did they light sage down there or something? Did they?
Take happy pills?
Yeah. Yes. Did we do something down there?
Hopefully. AJ looked like he was in a good mood in
go
the locker
bowling
room.
Bowling together or
yeah.
something?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're all bowling.
I'm just saying.
Maybe they all took a trip to the Jordan store. Maybe Jalen got them a 15% off.
Well, that thing. We know they didn't do.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah,
probably
I didn't see anybody at that store. Now, any Eagle, that is.
You've been listening to the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Show to camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.